special show about a guy that I've come to know, learn about his situation and things like that. So we here. So this is actually our fifth podcast episode, focusing on Todd Scott. Todd is a husband, a father, and a community leader who has been incarcerated for over 3 decades. After serving his initial 25-year minimum, Todd completed his term in 2012, but since then he has been up for parole 5 times, and his next parole date is in June of 2022. Like I said, last year we all gathered on this podcast before to celebrate Todd's achievements and share blessings and prayers for his upcoming board. But in that time since, he has faced a lot of adversity. He was denied at that board, but he also has risen to that challenge with a lot of parole prep, team activity that's happened over this last year. And tonight we are going to check back in with Todd and his team and talk about his fight for his own freedom. And we got a bunch of his supporters, his law team here, that's going to, you know, talk about his fight and stuff. But before we get into this podcast, I just wanted to let you listeners know that you can share your support for Todd and his family by sending an email at bringtoddhome5@gmail.com. That's bringtoddhome5@gmail.com. So we have a great panel of guests. My favorite ladies in the building. Just want to introduce Elena, Io, and Kara. So starting with, you know, whoever want to answer first, explain who, you know, the team and who you are.
I'm happy to go first. My name's Kara Kaur. I've been working with Todd and Sabrina, Io, and the parole prep team for the past 2 or 3 years. It's really hard to keep track on. It's 2019 in my head always. Past 2 or 3 years, we've gone through this process through parole prep with Todd once before, and so this is going to be our second time going to the board. And we're really praying that this time things go in our favor.
I'll say hi, I'm Io. I'm another volunteer on Todd's team. And like Kara said, the years have flown by, but it's been a few years that we've really had the privilege of getting to work with Todd and getting to know Todd and his amazing community of supporters and family and friends and just people whose lives he's touched. And I feel like through this, Todd has touched all of our lives. So it's really like as his team, but not just as a team of volunteers, but really as a team of a real community that we formed and that we're here to talk tonight. And that's me. I guess I'll pass it to Elena.
Hey, everybody. I'm Elena. I am actually the newest member of the team helping out with Todd's case. I joined the team in November. So it's just been a few months, but the love and support that I've witnessed among this team, among Todd's wife, Sabrina, and just everybody who cares about Todd has been really awesome. So it's been really special to be a part of this all in these efforts to bring Todd home. And I was lucky enough to go and visit him when he was at Elmira a few months ago with Io. So that was a really special experience getting to see him in person. So I'm excited to be here tonight and talk about bringing him home.
Yeah. It's amazing to have y'all on the show as usual, Io and Kara. And nice to meet you. This is my first time meeting you, Elaine. Thank you for joining us. Let's get it started. So like for you, Elena, since you're the newest one, we'll give you the first question. And then Kara and Io will answer after you. Just personally, like how has, you know, working with Todd impacted you?
Yeah, it's been a really awesome experience. So I was volunteering with this same organization, Parole Prep, with another person before I started working with Todd. And yeah, so I've been working with Parole Prep for a couple of years now. And, you know, I was always really passionate about like abolition of prisons and all this kind of work that Parole Prep is focused on before this, but like meeting people in person and getting to know them and getting to be a part of their lives and their story, there's just like nothing that compares to it. And so especially with Todd, like just meeting him in person, meeting his family, meeting the team that works with him has been so special because he really is such like, I mean, everybody here knows because they know him and they've spent time with him that he's just a really special person. And he's just, you know, like what he's accomplished in the past 30 years is incredible for anybody, let alone somebody who's been in prison for 30 plus years. So, I mean, his achievements are just incredible. And like the positivity and like the warmth that he radiates is incredible. So he's just been like inspiring to work with. And yeah, it's been inspiring to work with him. And it's been inspiring to work with his family and Sabrina and everybody who cares about him, because it's been such a long fight. And I've only been a part of it for, you know, the last like 5 months or so since I joined the team in November, but it's tough. And yeah, I think it's just, it's awesome what everybody's been able to accomplish, and how everybody is just, you know, so positive and you know, doing everything they can to get Todd home. So it's been an awesome experience for me. And I'm really excited for this upcoming hearing, because I'm feeling really confident and good about everything, all the work we've done. And yeah, like I said, we just want to bring him home.
That's awesome. Yeah. Seconding all of that. I mean, I think it feels like it's hard to describe like that we've done these a few times, and Daniel is always, you're the best facilitator and host of these. And we're just so grateful always that you have us on your show. And I feel like we always are using all these adjectives to try to describe who Todd is, and it never is sufficient. Like, he has to come home so that more people, he can touch even more people's lives and they can meet him, and we won't have to be like describing him, you know, in the third person. But really just echoing what Elena was saying, I think something that I felt so immediately when I met Todd way back when in 2019, and that has like still just continues to impress me every single day, is the intensity of the love that he has. Like, this man just exudes love and care for the people around him. And he cares so much about his wife and his family. He cares about us on a personal level. But he also just cares about people, like especially young men who are, you know, maybe walking in similar shoes as he was when he was very, very young and facing a lot of adversity. And just seeing the way that Todd approaches everyone in his life, approaches conflict, approaches like really difficult situations, or just approaches kind of day-to-day conversation, like in every context, he just leads with love and really just shows so much care for everyone else above himself. And that, I felt that so immediately. And that's what like makes it so special to be on this team. But I think it's even more impressive having done this work for a long time. And like Elena was saying, like Todd and his family have been doing it for so much longer, to keep operating in that way after so many years of being in a system that every day it tells people that they like aren't even human, or don't, you know, don't have access to the same types of rights or just basic necessities that, you know, those of us who aren't incarcerated take for granted. Like, to continue to kind of have so much care and respect for everyone around him is just such a feat in sort of the context of everything that he faces every day. So that's one way that Todd has impacted me. I think I've learned to try to be a little bit, to sort of be inspired by that and to try to lead with love more in my own life. So I think that that's something we can all learn from, and Todd is a real testament to.
I would echo everything that Elena and Io said. I think for me personally, it's pretty difficult to put into words, but one very specific way is that a year or so after I started working with Todd, I started law school, right? And I think for me, knowing and loving someone who is incarcerated and working with them so closely, and working with Sabrina, Todd's wife, so closely, it really put into perspective all of the cracks and all of the flaws in our criminal justice system. And then to start law school after that and see how we're training young people to become lawyers, to become prosecutors, to become even public defenders in these very inadequate ways that are just so removed from the realities of like, when you incarcerate someone, this is what you're putting them through.
Yeah.
Todd has heavily influenced the way that I approach everything, and especially law school, and especially my career, and especially my relationships with other people. And I think if I hadn't met Todd, I think that would have been really difficult, honestly, which is shameful to say, but it's the truth. And I think something that we all need is just be more educated on exactly what prisons are and the conditions that we put people through, and how we basically outsource all our violence, the military and our police force, so that we can look away and the people that are impacted by these things. So Yeah, and very Todd's impacted me in really, really large ways.
As we move on, let's get an update on how, like, you know, your team worked as a whole over this past year. I know y'all been doing a lot of appealing, you know, and prepping for the next board. But like when you hear that somebody that y'all deeply invested in, you know, gets denied from a parole board hearing, like, how does that affect, you know, we know probably how it affects him, but, you know, from y'all standpoint, how does it affect you?
It was so devastating and it was so infuriating because we knew we'd worked closely with Todd to put together this packet full of support, like this hundreds, I mean, this packet was huge, it was hundreds of pages and it was full of letters of support and everyone from correctional officers and superintendent of a prison to community-based organizations to Todd's kid, Todd's grandkids, Todd's family and community members, as well as like hundreds of letters from community events that were really truly people who live in the community, in the neighborhood that Todd would come home to and who want Todd to come home and know that their neighborhood would be better off with him as part of the community. So this packet was, I mean, it was massive and it reflected all of the years of Todd's work. In addition to actually what I missed on the list of in the packet was also all of his accolades, his certificates, you know, all of the accomplishments. He's done so much work. He's started youth mentorship programs. I mean, the list goes on. But what that whole packet was a testament to was really just all of his years of work on himself and becoming a man, going from, you know, being an 18-year-old kid to a man in his 50s who now is a community leader, everything that he's done in that process and, you know, everything that he's done for his community and all the people who love him and, you know, wanted to show that love in the form of a letter. And so seeing, having put that together and worked with Todd, it's so impressive and seeing that and knowing how prepared he was to walk in there and speak to the person who he is today and why he should come home. And then to get this, you know, kind of slap in the face response, it's like the same response that everyone gets when they go to the board, which is basically, we don't really care who you are today. We don't care all the things that you've done. We literally just care about the crime that put you into prison, which the judge already made a judgment on and Todd has served his time for. But just to get this sort of very disrespectful, really, response that totally discounts everything about who Todd is and what he's done. It's so saddening. Maybe the last, like, morsel of faith I had in our system to actually do what's right by people and have some sense of like fairness and justice. What it decimated that. And it's really angering because it's not right. People should be able, like you said, Daniel, people should get second chances and people should be able to, you know, to serve their time and then to be a different person, be who they are today and get to come home. So I don't know, that's how it felt for me. Kira, you should jump in with what I've missed, but it's just egregious.
Yeah, when we got the results, we hopped on a conference call and it was an hour, 30 minutes of us just screaming, right? Like it was literally us screaming, like because there were no words, there were no thoughts because there was no way to rationalize the opinion of the board. And it was just so blatantly clear that this was a decision that was already made before Todd went in. And there was no amount of work that we could have done, that he could have done, that was going to change that. And I think that realization is what Io is talking about. It makes you feel really defeated. And it just, it makes you lose faith in the system, even if you didn't really have a lot of faith to begin with. And to imagine that this is our first time going through this, right? But Todd has gone through it so many times before that, and so many other individuals continue to go through this. Like, it is really, really hard to conceptualize how people like Todd can continue to have so much empathy and so much love and so much patience. Because I think the normal person who's just living their life on the outside and kind of, you know, is in a very privileged position, like, would just crumble under that. And I think Todd has really been a leader for us and Sabrina as well in how to sustain yourself for the long fight, right? And I think, Todd's been fighting this fight for a really long time. And we're, like Elena's saying, we're just really, really hopeful I mean, we feel really positive about this time, but we also understand the realities of what we're up against. It is very much David versus Goliath would be an understatement here.
Oh, what about you, Elena? You have anything you want to add?
Yeah. So I started working with the team after the last hearing, but yeah, just like coming onto the team and like hearing about it and like seeing, going through the packet, like, I said, I've worked with like a couple other applicants before and like, you know, everybody deserves a second chance no matter what. And like, you shouldn't have to prove that like you have all these accolades and you're like, I mean, it's just crazy like what you have to like show to the board. But like Todd's packet is above and beyond anything I've ever seen before. He just has like so many letters of support. He has letters of like, you know, how amazing his behavior has been. He hasn't had like hardly any kind of discipline record. Like, he's just like, you know, it's like, what more are they asking to see? Like, I was just looking at his packet and I was like, I can't believe this wasn't enough for them. And it's just, yeah, it's really heartbreaking. And yeah, I can't imagine, you know, what the team has been through the last couple of years. And after hearing that decision, after the last hearing, but yeah, I think just staying positive and hopeful, and like Io and Kira said, like knowing what you're up against, and it's a horribly corrupt system. So just keeping that in mind, but still, you know, having that balance of like keeping the hope alive and knowing that like it is possible to make a difference. Yeah, it's going to be tough work.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, but I'm hoping that we can make some change and get him home so he could be home with his family and everything. So for those that don't know, we know that he was in Elmira and he moved on to another facility. So Kara, where exactly is Todd at today?
Yeah, he's been transferred to Five Points, which I believe is about an hour and a half. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys. I think it's an hour and a half is what I heard from Sabrina, away from Elmira. The conditions are very, very poor. It's, you know, it's a completely different facility. And again, Todd was moved without any notice. He was moved without any say. It's another maximum security prison, but this one is really, it's run by the gangs. Todd used to have access to the phone quite a bit at Elmira. And, you know, Elmira is not, a prison is a prison. But at Elmira, there were certain things that Todd had access to because he had been there for a long time. And also because he had, you know, built rapport with the COs and also had just earned these privileges by being such an outstanding individual. And I think at Five Points, it's just, he doesn't have access to the most basic humane things that legally he should have access to. And one of those things is being able to call Sabrina as regularly as he was able to. And just like, I think when you have so little contact with someone you love so much, the idea of having that stripped away and like the actual reality of having that stripped away has a huge impact on your life and the life of people around you. And so that's been, I think, one of the really difficult pieces is just not knowing how he's doing, not being able to communicate with him as much, and knowing that he was without his things for over 10 days. And it's been a really egregious process. And there were other privileges like family visits that he had access to in Elmira. And they had waited 6 months for that. There was a huge waiting process. And also you have to like be an outstanding, again, another outstanding individual to get granted access to those kinds of privileges. And Todd had, and just as he had gotten granted that, you know, he gets moved to Five Points, and it leads one to question kind of what's going on, what the incentives are here. We know his board is coming up, and, you know, we don't have any evidence. We're not accusing anyone of anything, but I do think there's a lot that's happening and we just don't have a lot of answers. And we really just want to make sure Todd is safe and that he's able to talk to Sabrina and that he's able to get the medical treatment that he was starting to get Elmira to. But there's just not a lot of answers. And, you know, we've all been pretty concerned, and Sabrina has been really, you know, been on the end of receiving very little information, which is very unfair to her.
I don't know if y'all spoke to him or if y'all got words from his lawyers or anything, but how is he doing? How is he feeling?
I think we've heard bits and pieces. I mean, from our last conversation with him and through Sabrina, who's, you know, like just not knowing when your loved one is going to call and having to kind of wait by the phone. And as you're going about your life every day to try to get a snippet of a few minutes just to know that your loved one is okay. I mean, like Kira was saying, that takes a toll, but Sabrina has been so amazing at trying to be, you know, trying to pick up the phone every time he calls just to know that he's doing okay. And then relaying that to all of the people like us who are like anxious about him and want to know how he's doing. And I think that Todd is, you know, and Kira has said this before too, like just someone who is able to rise to many, many challenges, and that's not right. And it's not fair. And he shouldn't have to fight, you know, every day, but I think that he's remained really focused. He knows that he is in this fight to come home and really fighting for his freedom. And I think that he's just as determined for that every single day. I think that he's like been keeping his, you know, spirits as high as they can be. But I think it's really, really hard, you know, like Kira said, to be moved without any notice, to be taken even farther from home when he was already like 5 hours away from New York City, to be taken even farther away from your loved ones, to have these connections severed through phone, you know, not being able to do phone calls, not being able to do family visits. I mean, that's really, really hard. So I think that he's focused and determined, but I don't think it's easy.
What type of prison, Ayo, is Five Points?
Yeah, well, I think Kira kind of said it. I think it's a really different place than Elmira. Also, like Kira said, a prison is a prison is a prison. This is not to say Elmira was like great or cushy or anything like that. But Five Points seems like a really difficult place. Todd had worked for all of these years. He was in the honor block and he had earned privileges after working very hard for them. And then to go somewhere that's so dangerous and so unpredictable and where there's not necessarily the type of care that he, you know, he'd worked to kind of have set up at Elmira, like medical care for some of the sort of chronic health issues that Todd has had. Todd's had COVID not once, but twice. And that's only exacerbated our concern about his health. And, you know, so we'd worked and Todd had worked with the medical staff at Elmira to start to get some support for some of his medical challenges. That wasn't easy. It should have happened a lot faster, but at least the ball was in motion. And then to be taken somewhere where there's none of that, or there isn't necessarily, you know, they're starting from scratch to try to get some of those supports worked out for him. It's just a really different place. Yeah. I mean, I guess I'd leave it at that unless Elena or Kira, there's something to add to that.
I know you said Elmira is not cushy, Five Points is this, but I don't know, like is there like a difference? Like, did you hear a difference from him explaining like, all right, you know, Elmira, he was this way. And then, you know, now Five Points is this. Is there like any type of difference?
One of the main differences, we used to hear from Todd way more when he was at Elmira, right? So we would have access to that kind of information. And I think one of the things that's happened with Five Points is we just don't really hear from him, you know, and Sabrina hears from him occasionally, but it's much less than she used to. I mean, and that's been a really big adjustment. And I think the precious time she does have with him, you know, they have so little time to talk about so many things. And so there's a lot of things we're not actually even able to cover that we really do need to cover ahead of his board. And I think something that Sabrina pointed out is that when he was in Elmira, he was in the honors block. And so I'm guessing that he's not in the honors block in Five Points, or at least they haven't placed him there yet. And I think the other thing is that he's fasting for Ramadan right now. And so I think that's another thing. And he's, you know, Todd's a really strong person. He's staying focused. He knows the job at hand. He knows, you know, what matters, but to think about all the factors at play of what he, you know, his religious commitment, and then also the lack of communication he has with his wife, and then being moved last minute, it's a lot for anyone to handle. And I think he's definitely being tested and pushed, but he's staying focused. And so we don't know a lot about Five Points, but we know it's not good. Like, we know for a fact it is a worse situation than he was in when he was in Elmira.
So like, did anything happen? There's a reason why he just got sent to Five Points, but this is out of nowhere, because I just want to know, like, why would Todd be transferred, you know, 2 months before his parole hearing? No,
that's really just a testament to like how dehumanizing like this whole system is, like the fact that, you know, he can just be told like at a moment's notice, like this place, you know, that you've called your home, you've made it into a home, like as much as you can, for the past, you know, however many years. And now you're just like, we're just going to take you away from this and everything, you know, and just, you know, somewhere, go somewhere with a lot worse conditions. You're not on the honors block. You're not able to like have those things that do make you feel like, you know, you are a part of this society, like being able to talk to Sabrina and call us and talk to people on the phone and communicate with people. It's just like stripping him of all these things, you know, that he was, you know, able to hold on to and like keep him going. And so, yeah, I think he's just trying to, like Kira and Io said, just trying to stay focused and strong. But I mean, this is, it's just really frustrating that this has happened.
Not only is it so dehumanizing, the impact on him, that having done absolutely nothing, they can just decide, you know, the prison system can just decide, we're going to move you to this place that's a worse situation for you. But then it also makes me think about the impact on everyone else that he's incarcerated with, because as Kira said, Todd was transferred right before Ramadan. He played a really important role in the Muslim community at Elmira. He was a big part of organizing around fast, organizing around prayer. And that's a really important, I mean, that's a lifeline for a lot of people. And that's part of why he was so important to so many younger people inside. And so to take him out of the facility right before this really important religious holiday begins, I mean, think about the effect. It's not just about him. It's about everyone that he cares about and the folks in the Muslim community at Elmira and the type of impact that has on them. So it's just like the layers of dehumanization. It's not just about him. It's about the whole kind of ecosystem and all the people that Todd was helping who suddenly he's just disappeared on, not by his own choice.
Yeah, I was talking to Sabrina earlier today, and she was telling me that, like, the community, well, that they say that the community doesn't want Todd home, right? And I know that Todd has a large community of support, and I've seen his parole package before, and it was, you know, it was a big package, and it was filled with, you know, support from a lot of people. So, like, how is it that the state feels like the community, you know, doesn't support him?
I know one of the things that they had pushed back on was, like, trying to accuse Todd of not having support in his specific community, I think, which is just, like, kind of egregious, because what the police union does is they literally have these, like electronic petitions that people from all over the US can essentially just sign without knowing any of the facts and send in thousands and thousands of letters, like petitioning against Todd's case without actually knowing Todd's case and Todd's story and who he is now, who are very clearly not members of his community. And I think initially they had accused Todd of getting support from people outside of his community, which was false and just kind of ridiculous given what the opposition was doing. And then I think more recently, they're just like, this isn't enough. The other factors are so much more against you that the fact that you have such a strong package just isn't compelling enough. But again, it makes absolutely no sense, because his compass score, like all the signs and his community support, the fact that he has a job lined up, the fact that he has a loving wife and home to come to and family, like all of these factors line up to, like, there's no such thing as the perfect parole applicant, but I would like venture to say that Todd is as close as you can get to that. And when you look at the entire picture, you're left with only one explanation, which is that he's not being released because of his crime. And there's no way for us or Todd to go back in time and change what happened, right? And so that's not what the role of the parole board is. They shouldn't be adjudicating the initial crime that's already happened. He was already sentenced. They should be looking at where he is now and all of these different factors like they're supposed to. And so it's just, and that's what we appealed, right? And so it's just, yeah, it's all to say, it's just, it makes absolutely no sense. And I think the questions you're asking, Daniel, are really on point, and we have absolutely no answers because we also don't know.
Yeah, I know that's tough. You know, it's gonna happen for him, you know, sooner or later. Hopefully sooner. So last question I want to ask y'all, I know that the impact that he made on y'all also as a person, like, who is he to you? And why is it so important that he needs to come home at this upcoming board meeting?
I mean, yeah, like I touched on earlier, like getting to meet Todd in person was just really special. You know, we all talked about the ways that he's touched us and inspired us with, you know, how warm and loving and supportive he is of all the people in his life. And it's like, I can't believe he has so much to give after all he's been through. So, I mean, just, yeah, Todd as a person is just, you know, he's an incredible person and he deserves to come home no matter what. And on top of that, I mean, I think his health is like, you know, another reason, like he's been in prison for decades and, you know, he can't keep living under these conditions. He's only, you know, getting older. And so it's a safety concern. Like we need him to be home so that he can get proper care and treatment, and be, you know, it with access to, you know, the medical resources that he may not be able to get in somewhere like Five Points. So yeah, it's just like a, you know, a human rights thing. Like he needs to be healthy and safe, you know. Also just his family needs him too, and his community needs him as well. So I think there's just so many reasons for why he deserves and needs to be home. And yeah, I think that's just what's top of mind for me right now.
Yeah, I think Elena covered all of it basically, but Todd is very much a natural born like nurturer, caretaker. Like I think he was put in that position during his childhood very early on of taking care of his brother and sister. And so it's just a role that comes very naturally to him. One of the things he's done while he's been incarcerated over the past 30 years is really be that person for younger incarcerated men, right? And I think one of the things that Todd really offers society and like one of the key passions that drives him is mentoring young people. And I think one of the things he could do when he's out and what he will do when he's out is be that person, that community elder that people can go to and confide in and look towards to make sure that, you know, kids stay on the right path and don't get mixed up in things where the system just takes advantage of them like they did with Todd. That's like the main thing that comes to my head, but there's so much. I want Todd to just experience life like a normal person. Like I just want him to stand in his kitchen with Sabrina, cooking her a really good home cooked meal. And I don't think he needs to. I think sometimes we do this thing, and I do this myself, where we put people on a pedestal of like what they can be or what they can do, and they need to be this extraordinary person. And the fact that Todd is, right, makes it so compelling. But I would also say the same thing if Todd didn't have those qualities, and if literally all he was, you know, happy doing and meant to do was just be at home with his family, because everyone deserves that. And that's just like Elena's saying, it's basic human rights.
Yeah,
I agree.
I didn't say it better.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, Sabrina got some good old lasagna, y'all. I don't know if y'all ever had it, but man, oh man, that lasagna is on point.
We know the mac and cheese. We know the mac and cheese is very
so true.
If
Todd could come home and just be and eat amazing Sabrina's amazing mac and cheese every single night, it wouldn't be so great for his health. I don't think Sabrina would let it happen, but I would be so happy, because it's like he deserves to get to be a father, a grandfather, a husband, and to just be after spending so many years being there for so many other people.
Hold on. She let y'all have the mac and cheese?
Yes.
She wasn't supposed to do that.
Multiple times.
The secret, one of the secrets to how, that's the resilience, that like the secret to how we've made it through all of these like devastating moments is that Sabrina's given us a lot of love and a lot of mac and cheese.
Yeah, like I said, she has one of the biggest hearts, you know, of all time. So that's why I'm always good to, you know, step aside and not talk sports and do this with y'all and stuff. And also, you know, catch up with y'all, because y'all good people's land. You're already family now, so you good people's too. Don't worry about it, you know. So I guess, yeah, we can wrap it up. And just want to thank all you listeners for tuning into the Daniel Artest Show, brought to you by the 265 Media Podcast Network. You can follow me for more of this conversation on Twitter at 265 Media. And we're going to do more of these shows, because we can't go like over a year now with one show in between shows. So we're going to have to do is make sure everything is caught up. And everybody that listens to me know I switched up my whole entire format of shows now. You know, we don't really talk basketball on the show anymore. We pretty much talk about everything. So this is a part of it now. Make sure you just email ringtodhome5@gmail.com. All right, we'll do that. And that being said, love is love. Peace.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, Daniel.